Welcome. Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for joining us here today. As Dan said, we are continuing on in the Sermon on the Mount. And today we are looking at Matthew 7, verses 7 through to 11. So if you've still got your phones out or you've got your Bible, turn or scroll with me. And this is our passage for today. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asked for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Let me pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word this morning. We just pray that you open our hearts and minds to an awareness of your Spirit moving in this room, Lord. Teach us what you want us to know this morning. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I don't want to brag, but this is probably one of a handful of scriptures that I've successfully been able to memorize word for word. I struggle with that big time. And it helps that it's an acrostic. Some of us need this. So it's not really. Look at that. It's not really much of a flex, but it has had a significant impact on my journey, both negatively and positively. But I think this passage is awesome. It's full of hope, it's full of promise, and it's full of expectation. And I do get excited by what it could mean. Listen to this. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. To everyone who asks. How amazing. That is such a big promise. And that is why it is incredibly important that we unpack it in its proper context. Please hear me say this, we should unpack all scripture in its context. But this passage in particular, if we take it as a standalone text or a standalone promise, it can do a lot of damage. This passage potentially highlights the chasm between our expectation and our lived reality around prayers being answered. We probably all know of somebody or have experienced ourselves the pain and the discouragement that comes when our prayers go seemingly unanswered. This passage, where it can go wrong, is that Jesus, if we read it on its own, it doesn't explicitly tell us what to ask, seek, and knock for. And it's often interpreted as a blank check. But this idea, just simply, it doesn't hold up when we read it in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. My confession this morning, I'll do one every week, but it's that my motivation for memorizing this scripture was not pure. I learnt this scripture because it appealed to my flesh. I took this promise as God is going to give me whatever I want because he loves me. Not sure why I said it quite like that, because Even when I was a 16-year-old girl learning this, I would not have spoken like that. But it's actually because he loves us that that's not going to happen. But there was a very real expectation and expectancy that this is what God was going to do. He was going to be like a genie. It didn't take very long for that to like be quashed. But the reality is, and I'm getting this over and done with early, please, is that God is never, he's never going to indulge our flesh. God never promises us that we'll be wealthy or healthy or we'll live a problem-free life. We have no special claim to an easy life as a Christian. And in fact, if we read the scriptures, the picture is actually quite opposite. Psalm says, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's not if, it's when. And Paul, in his in 2 Corinthians, when he's sharing about his experience in Asia, he pretty much says, it was so bad, I wanted to die. If we pray for those things, the things of the flesh, we have no scriptural assurance that God will answer our requests. But there is one thing that we can be assured of, and it's in 1 John 5:14, and it says this. And this is the confidence that we have before him, that whenever we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Whenever we pray for anything according to his will, he hears us. So let's look at how this fits in with the Sermon on the Mount, and hopefully by unpacking it and framing it in this context, we'll be able to get a kingdom perspective and be encouraged. So we're going to go back to go forward. And here is a very quick recap / Sermon on the Mount in a nutshell. Broadly, the Sermon on the Mount explains how to usher in the kingdom of God by its citizens living in a particular way. And that's a very broad brushstroke right there. But it starts in chapter 5 with the Beatitudes. Jesus teaches about the character of those in his kingdom. He explains the qualities that define true believers, such as humility, mourning over sin, meekness, hunger for righteousness, mercy, purity of heart, and peacemaking. And all of this often leads to persecution. Yay! Jesus contrasts the false righteousness of the Pharisees with the true righteousness of kingdom citizens. The Pharisees focused on outward obedience, while Jesus emphasizes the importance of inward purity and obedience to God's commands. In Matthew 6, he teaches us how to pray and highlights the need for sincerity in religious practices, encouraging secrecy in fasting, prayer, and giving to honor God rather than seeking recognition from others. And at the beginning of Matthew 7, Jesus instructs us on how to address personal sin first before helping others, and emphasizing the need for discernment in ministering to others. Now, that is a tall order. And if I'm honest, I'm still back at poor in spirit. That has been my prayer daily. If you're going to take anything away from today, I think this is what it should be. Jesus is aware of the difficulties of reaching the kingdom standards. And in today's passage, he's teaching his listeners the secret to developing and maintaining those standards. This is how we do it. That's a song. No. Simply put, if they want to live, if we want to live a righteous life, we must ask, seek, and knock. As we've journeyed through the Sermon on the Mount, we have been confronted by a seemingly unattainable idea of morality that we cannot strive to achieve in our own strength, and our only option is to approach it through utter dependency on God, through faith and prayer. And this is Jesus' invitation here. It's to enter a life of perpetual prayer. If we want to live a righteous life, if we want to see the kingdom here on earth, then we need to pray and pray and pray and pray some more. Verse 7 in the NLT translation translates it like this: keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. We need to continually, actively participate in this process. I love how one commentary that I was reading framed this. To receive something, ask. To find something, seek. To get the door open, knock. For everyone who receives this has been asking. Those who find have been seeking, and those whom the door is open have been knocking. That makes perfect sense. If we want a glass of water, we don't wait there until someone hands it to us. Although if they've got the gift of hospitality, that may happen. We usually have to ask. If we want to find someone, something, unless you're my child, it doesn't usually drop into your lap. You have to go looking for it. And we don't just turn up on someone's doorstep and hope that they're vibing that we're there and come and let us in. We have to knock. There is more to this prayer than just asking God for things and then sitting around and waiting for Him to respond. That's not how it works. This invitation is into something active. We are to take our requests, the longings of our hearts, cast all our cares on Him because He cares for us, and we talk to Him about them constantly. But we don't just stop there. We seek to understand. We seek through studying Scripture, processing with other wise Christians. And we are seeking to discern God's will. And then we knock until there is an opportunity for us to step into God's will. Now, I'm just going to give you a quick personal, practical example of how this plays out. And this is maybe about a year and a half ago now. God put something on my heart about the housing crisis on the Central Coast. And I've been praying about that since then. And that actually formed part of the reason why we decided to sell a property that we had. But not only that, we currently have a granny flat under our house that is empty. And that annoys me because I am so concerned and burdened that there is a housing crisis and we have a space that is empty that somebody could be inhabiting. And I have been praying and praying and praying, saying, God, come on, we got a space here. Can we use it? Can we use it? Can we use it? And that is the knocking. And I am trusting that in his timing, he will answer that prayer and we will be able to bless someone with that space. I need to be persistent and keep knocking, and I need to be patient. Patient. But that is the assurance that we have in verse 8, that we will seek, we will find, we will, it will be. Because that is a righteous prayer, to care for our homeless. Trust is important here too. I just want to point out that we're not being asked to step into this blindly, into this process. Jesus has been preparing us for it. The Sermon on the Mount has been tracking towards this, and there is an element of assumed knowledge here. First of all, Jesus has taught us how to pray. And he's even given us 3 chapters worth of righteous prayer inspiration. So if you don't know where to start, you can just do this in the Sermon on the Mount, and wherever you land, that's probably an okay place to start if you are looking for something righteous to pray for. He reminds us of the eternal. Not everything is temporal. In fact, the things that really matter are not temporal. We are told that we are of value, and God knows what our basic needs are, and he will take care of us. We are to focus on seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. We step in to this because we know that he's got us with our basic needs. These are a pretty solid foundation for us to trust and step in with confidence and expectation. God is somebody who can totally be trusted. He will do what he says he's going to do. Verse 11, if you then, who are evil, can give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God knows what's best. He knows better than we do, thank goodness. Because I have prayed some banger prayers over the years that I am so thankful that he has not answered, because they were just dumb. My life would be, I don't know what my life would look like if he actually answered what I had hoped for and thought was a good idea at the time. But in his wisdom and his love for me, he didn't answer them. And I am so grateful. We can trust God, and we can trust his process. The thing that I love most about this is that it's actually an invitation to a transformed life. It's not that my prayers are going to be answered. It's the invitation into that closer walk with Jesus, to that deeper relationship with God, where just coming alongside him, our hearts align and our focus turns from our needs to our desires, to the kingdom desires that are outward focus. And it's in this place. It's this getting close to God where we can truly understand what it is to love him and love others. Ask, seek, knock is the pathway to a transformed life. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at the narrow gate. This is how we get through the narrow gate. Sorry, whoever's on that. Spoiler. If you want to be a person who embodies the characteristics of the Beatitudes, if you want your heart to align with what God wants for this world, the way to get there is to ask, seek, and knock. Now that's a very broad and a very shallow explanation of this passage. But I really did feel like I wanted to allow space for God to speak to us today. For God to search our hearts for those righteous prayers and bring them to the surface. To show us what they are. They're in there because God says he's writing his law on our hearts. So they are in us, but they're just often not the loudest. So we're going to allow a few minutes of silence now to see what bubbles up. Lean into this and just tune out. Lean in. But also, this space is a time for those who may have been discouraged by unanswered prayer, who may be hurting, who this may be difficult for. The time for the Holy Spirit to minister and speak to you about that. And then after we've done that, Matt's going to lead us in a response. So just take a few minutes.